could be that we're seeing a slightly more virulent strain. The other possibility is that the flu vaccine itself is not as effective this year as it has been in recent years.
He says Alaskans older than 65 and ages 0 to 4 are at the highest risk of severe flu illness, and those with underlying medical conditions. And he says Alaskans can protect themselves and others from the flu by washing their hands frequently. If you're sick, you should stay home for at least 24 hours after your fever goes down. And he says the flu shot helps prevent transmission and reduces the chance of severe illness for those who get it. Anyone 6 months of age or older can get the flu shot. And you're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. The Juneau police officer who shot and killed a resident wielding a hatchet last year will not face criminal charges. The state's Office of Special Prosecutions released a statement today that cleared Officer Jonah Hennings Booth in the Christmas morning shooting of 30-year-old Ray Johnston. Two other officers were present during the incident but did not fire their weapons. The fatal shooting took place in the parking lot of the Mendenhall Valley Breeze Inn convenience store. According to the Juneau Police Department, the officers were responding to an emergency call because Johnston was allegedly yelling and threatening people with a hatchet. The state's news release says Johnston did not comply with officers when ordered to put down the weapon and continued to advance toward the officers, even after officers used their tasers. Hennings Booth then shot Johnston, who was pronounced dead at the scene. Johnston's death is the second shooting fatality involving police in Juneau within a year. In July, police shot and killed 35-year-old Stephen Kissack downtown. Months later, the Office of Special Prosecutions ruled that shooting was justified and cleared all officers involved of any criminal charges. Since 2009, there have been more than 150 police shootings in Alaska. No officers involved have been charged with a crime. And in less than 2 months, the Juneau Assembly is expected to vote on a proposal that would allow the construction of a fifth cruise ship dock downtown to move forward. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, residents are divided on what another dock could mean for Juneau's economy and the expansion of tourism in the town.
Huna Totem Corporation has been trying to build a fifth cruise ship dock in downtown Juneau for years. But to accomplish a feat of that magnitude, it's needed to jump through a lot of procedural hoops. But now, the Alaska Native Village Corporation is at a point where it faces what is essentially its last major hurdle.
Tidelands.
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 Tidelands, or the submerged land in the channel where the dock will be. Huna Totem needs to lease the city-owned Tidelands in order to build the dock. And it's up to the Juneau Assembly to approve or deny the lease. Without one, the dock project as it stands can't move forward. At a Committee of the Whole meeting Monday night, Assembly members approved the introduction of an ordinance that will ultimately decide whether or not to approve leasing the Tidelands. Members are expected to vote on it on April 7th. Cruise ship tourism and its growth are contentious for residents and business owners in town. There's a push and pull between the economic benefits of tourism's growth and the impact that growth has on the well-being of people who live here. Residents testified about the proposed Tidelands lease at an Assembly Lands Housing and Economic Development meeting earlier Monday evening. Chathli Ish Richard Peterson, the president of the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, asked the Assembly to approve the lease. He said the tribe would benefit from the project.
This is a significant investment in Juneau's economy. It'll create jobs during construction and operation. It'll generate revenue for local businesses, and this project represents a major step towards greater economic self-sufficiency for Juneau.
He said the dock would help disperse visitors downtown, and he also applauded the corporation's plan to highlight Alaska Native culture with the project. The dock's proposed location is along Egan Drive near Juneau's U.S. Coast Guard Station and across the street from KTOO. It would be accompanied by a waterfront development called Auk Landing, which would include things like underground parking, retail space, and a culture and science center. Another advocate for the project was Craig Dahl, the interim executive director for the Juneau Chamber of Commerce. He sees a lot of benefits.
The reduction of bus traffic downtown, the expansion of the Seawalk, the additional parking that's going to be available to Juneau residents, more job opportunities throughout the season, and certainly the future connectivity to shore power to further reduce emissions. These are all significant attributes of this project.
Some testifiers didn't feel the same way. Kathy Coghill, a North Douglas resident, said she's concerned about the environmental effects of the project, among other concerns.
There are some really exciting opportunities for this piece of land, but I believe the lease right now is premature. I'm most excited about the cultural center, but I feel that local people's concerns are not being weighed adequately in comparison to the commercial.
Carla Hart, a longtime activist against the growth of tourism, also shared her opposition to the project. In 2023, she filed an appeal of the Planning Commission's approval of a conditional use permit for the dock, citing health and safety issues, among other concerns.
The health harms from the pollution from the cruise ships is phenomenal, and the city has never directly taken that on to protect the community or even to educate the community on the harms.
Last month, the city held two public meetings to allow residents to ask questions and offer comments on the plan. There will still be another chance for people to give testimony on the topic before the assembly votes. And assembly members have already shared some concerns, like whether the dock will get in the way of plans for a Coast Guard icebreaker set to be homeported in Juneau. These topics and more will likely be discussed at the assembly's next committee of the whole meeting next month. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And the University of Alaska is grappling with how to respond to broad executive orders from the Trump administration that include eliminating diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. The university has already made some changes on its website. And as KTOO's Jamie Deep reports, a directive from the university's Board of Regents leaves the path forward unclear for faculty and administrators.
Kathy DiLorenzo is an associate professor of public administration for the University of Alaska Southeast. She got an email over the weekend about a class she's teaching this summer. A university administrator told her to change the course name and description. What's the class?
It's Leadership in Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in the Public Sector.
But DiLorenzo pushed back on the directive.
I wrote back and said, I don't agree with this. I feel it's a violation of academic freedom. And then it came back to me that the chancellor said, okay, you can keep it.
She says academic freedom means instructors aren't limited in what they can teach.
As long as we are not teaching something that is wrong, not valid, or we're harming somebody in some way, we have the freedom to teach what is relevant to society. And DEI is relevant to society.
Her experience highlights a shift at the University of Alaska as it responds to executive orders from the Trump administration that target diversity initiatives. The administration is forcing educational institutions to remove DEI language in programs that it says violate civil rights as a condition to receive federal funding. Part of those orders have since been blocked by a federal judge, but the university has already made some changes on its website, and a directive from its Board of Regents last Friday leaves the path forward unclear for faculty and administrators. DiLorenzo's summer course seems like it can remain as is, but she says things could change if the university's administration gets other instructions from its leadership as a result of federal policy changes.
I believe that the administration at UAS wants to have the most open and inclusive environment that we can have. And they're committed to that. But if they get direction from above them, they won't have any choice.
Before the formal change on Friday, the university had already begun making changes to comply with federal orders. The university's non-discrimination statement, which used to mention affirmative action and its goals, has its own webpage. Almost all of its language around affirmative action was gone as of last Thursday, according to archived versions of the webpage. Archives also show that a shortened version of the statement used in job listings and email signatures got rid of affirmative action language. Most job listings across the three universities use the updated language as of last week, but some UAS jobs still use the older language. UA Director of Public Affairs Jonathan Taylor says this is part of the university updating its non-discrimination statement in response to the Trump administration's executive order. Taylor says it's an informal administrative process that is based on advice from the university's legal counsel, but he says it isn't related to Friday's board motion.
I would caution against creating a link between the updates to the non-discrimination statement and the board action on Friday. The action to update the language on the non-discrimination statement was already in motion before the board meeting and isn't related to the board action.
University of Alaska Southeast Chancellor Aparna Palmer addressed the changes in a letter sent to staff and students Friday. She says the university is so committed to being a welcoming place to all and made the decision because of the potential to lose federal funding. Alaska Native Languages professor Hune Lance Twitchell says eliminating words around DEI eliminates free speech protections from the state and federal constitutions. And even with the services the universities have provided for students from underrepresented communities, Twitchell says more needs to be done, not less.
We have some students, especially from rural communities in Western Alaska, who come to us as faculty members and say, I feel like I have a choice at a university. I can be myself or I can succeed. And I have to make that choice. And so long as we're hearing Native students who are saying that we know we haven't done an adequate job of providing a good place for them to have an education.
Twitchell says leadership on the university's Alaska Native Studies Council will meet soon to discuss strategies to face the various ways this directive will play out. Chancellor Palmer stated in her letter that university leadership will begin meeting with faculty and students this week to figure out next steps. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 42 degrees and raining this afternoon. We've gotten quite a bit of rain today and last night. And the rain looks like it's sticking around tomorrow, Friday, and through the weekend. You're listening to KTOO.